Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. Summer's here and we're all chasing something, a break, a goal, a vibe. Let's not let bad socks and blisters ruin it. Bombas makes socks and now slides and seamless essentials that keep up with whatever your summer looks like, whether you're running a marathon or just a few errands. Seriously, you know that song that makes you want to go fast? Bombas running socks are like that. They wick sweat, help you keep cool, and fight blisters. And it's not just running. They make specialized pairs for hiking, tennis, golf, you name it. I'm wearing Bombas right now. These are Bombas.
Wow, Peter, there they are. It. He's not lying. I can see them. I can see them.
So there you go. They even make socks that can make international flights bearable. Yeah, we're talking Bombas compression socks to help curb aches and keep those legs energized for all the sightseeing ahead. You know, I'd say I love my Bombas socks. I have basically all Bombas socks. I haven't hit purchase on the compression socks yet. It's a line I haven't crossed yet into a different status of life.
Yeah, it's an uh-oh.
Whoa. Plus, with wedding season in full swing, you're going to want to see their ruffle and dress socks that'll make you the best dressed guest. They don't just feel good, they do good. One purchase equals one donated to someone who needs it. You can also order Bombas abroad. That's right, along with the U.S., they now ship internationally to over 200 countries. You can order Bombas abroad. You can order abroad Bombas. Share. Head on over to bombas.com/loveit and use the code loveit for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/loveit. Code loveit at checkout. bombas.com/loveit and use code loveit.
I'm Nate Silver.
And I'm Maria Konnikova. We're journalists who moonlight as high-stakes poker players. And on our podcast, Risky Business, we bring an analytical lens, thinking about odds, incentives, and outcomes to the choices shaping our democracy.
Because every move in politics is a calculation, and sometimes our leaders can make bad bets.
You don't say, Nate. If you want to understand what our politicians are thinking and what's at stake with each decision they make, this show is for you.
Listen to Risky Business wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Dynasty Typewriter. Great day. We've got a great show for you tonight. Drag Race icon, whose name is a rare pun that only works in an accent, Courtney Act is here. Courtney Act. That's how you have to do it. Courtney Act. Because Courtney Act doesn't do anything. Doesn't make any sense. You have to say Courtney Act. Survivor legend Parvati Shallow is here. Also of Traitors fame. Three of us are going to talk about our equally successful reality careers. Then we take our favorite reel for a villainous spin. But first, let's get into it. What a week. On Saturday, President Trump deployed 2,000 California National Guard troops to Los Angeles after protests against ICE sweeps in the city led to instances of vandalism and violence. LA has been in the news too much this year. Deadly wildfires and a military deployment were collectively too hot for this. The LAPD made clear that as one of the largest police departments in the world, with 17 helicopters, including one that I believe is assigned above my house, it did not need and would not have requested the assistance, because if we don't use these rubber bullets by the end of the summer, they go bad. They get soft. And then it starts to feel good. Too good. Trump's obvious goal was to sow chaos, which is exactly what he got. At protests in downtown LA on Sunday, a group of demonstrators set several Waymo self-driving taxis on fire. Jesus. Still got to Bestia just fine, though. So don't worry about that. We got an email. We talked about this on the pod whenever we recorded the pod earlier this week. And we joked about the fact that there were reports that people were calling Waymos to the protest to set them on fire, which is very kind of Wall-E. You know, it's like, why are you doing this? I'm here to help. I know nothing of ICE. We got an email from like PR at Waymo saying, actually, there's no evidence that that happened, but I know you guys just like to joke around. It's like, okay. How'd they get there? Meanwhile, National Guard troops who were deployed at an estimated cost of $134 million arrived without lodging and were photographed sleeping on floors. Hang in there, fellas. That was Jacob Elordi before Euphoria. Hold on to the dream. Trump went further Monday, mobilizing another 2,000 National Guard troops and more than 700 Marines. Semper Fi, more like Semper finally gonna try that Hailey Bieber smoothie. I love that joke. I don't care. Semper finally gonna try that Hailey Bieber smoothie. As the escalation continued, Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, threatened to arrest anyone who obstructed immigration enforcement and wouldn't rule out arresting California Governor Gavin Newsom or L.A. Mayor Karen Bass. Good luck, Dick, because if I know Mayor Bass, she'll be out of the country at the first sign of trouble. Newsom had this response.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. Why doesn't he do that? And he knows where to find me. But you know what? Lay your hands off four-year-old girls that are trying to get educated. Come after me, arrest me. Let's just get it over with.
And then Newsom added,
let me up, kill me! Come on, kill me! I need it! Come on, do it now! Kill me!
And then on Tuesday, standing in front of uniformed members of the military, Trump accused Newsom and Bass of paying protesters in our own city.
In Los Angeles, the governor of California, the mayor of Los Angeles, they're incompetent, and they paid troublemakers, agitators, and insurrectionists. They're engaged in this willful attempt to nullify federal law and aid the occupation of the city by criminal invaders. That's what it is.
What's sad is how much cheaper it is to protest in Vancouver. Like, even if it involves sending the agitators that are from Los Angeles, it is cheaper to bring the whole protest to Vancouver. We have got to bring protests back to Los Angeles. Some kind of a tax thing. We got to fix it. Veterans and military experts were horrified to see Trump politicizing the military in this way, standing in front of soldiers in uniform as a backdrop for a partisan speech, goading them into booing Democrats. It's disgusting. Soldiers aren't political prompts unless it's your birthday. Later that very day, before seeing Les Mis, of course, we got this stellar moment with Trump and his wife of many years, Melania.
On the musical, have you seen the musical before? And do you identify more with Jean Valjean or Javert?
Oh, that's a tough one, that last part of that question. That's tough, I think. You better answer that one, honey, I don't know. We've seen it a number of times. It's fantastic. I thought it was just about our first choice. That's what we got. And we have others coming. Other great ones are coming.
My contract for tonight, very clear. I am not speak. J.D. Vance was also in attendance, and he tweeted this before the show. He said, about to see Les Miserables with POTUS at the Kennedy Center. Me to Usha, so what's this about? A barber who kills people? Usha, hysterical laughter. So just for those keeping track, knowing what Les Mis is, gay. Knowing what a Sondheim musical is, straight as hell. Remember when he was talking about the essence of masculinity? Yeah, me too. Speaking of miserables, on Thursday, Democratic Senator Alex Padilla crashed DHS Secretary Kristi Noem's LA press conference and got physically wrestled from the room.
Senator Alex Padilla, I have questions for the secretary, because the fact of the matter is a half a dozen violent criminals that you're rotating on your heads off.
See, that's what makes Gaga amazing. She can sing while doing the moves. Anyone could do a studio album. I also, when I saw this, I didn't realize I had a separate, deeper chamber of stress diarrhea to unlock. In the full video, you can see Senator Padilla forced to the ground and handcuffed by police. This is now the second most badass Alex Padilla clip, right after his smooth tortilla rolling technique.
Roll out,
cool as hell. Padilla had to deal with all this just for asking a question, and the question wasn't, who wants to see this Waymo burn? DHS spokesperson Trisha McLaughlin blamed Padilla for the row, tweeting, Senator Padilla chose disrespectful political theater and interrupted a live press conference without identifying himself or having his Senate security pin on as he lunged towards Secretary Noem, and Secret Service thought he was an attacker and officers acted appropriately. But we hear him say in that video out loud, I'm Senator Alex Padilla. He does not lunge. They're lying about something we can debunk with our eyeballs and our ear holes. In some way, that's even more ominous than shoving and handcuffing a senator. But in other ways, is it? Anyway, this is a comedy show. Padilla spoke with the press afterwards where he said this.
I was there peacefully. At one point, I had a question. And so I began to ask a question. I was almost immediately forcibly removed from the room. I was forced to the ground, and I was handcuffed.
While on Fox News, Noem stuck with the unidentified lunger theory.
And this man burst into the room, started lunging towards the podium, interrupting me and elevating his voice, and was stopped, did not identify himself, and was removed from the room. So as soon as he identified himself, appropriate actions were taken.
They keep describing a 52-year-old senator and software engineer announcing himself while speaking calmly as lunging. Next, they'll tell us that a second Alex Padilla has collided with the podium. Do I need to say it? A second Alex Padilla has hit the podium. But hey, if you're going to march into authoritarianism, why not do it in style? The military parade for Trump's birthday on Saturday is expected to cost at least $45 million, of which $16 million has been set aside to repair D.C. roads that will be damaged by heavy tanks rolling through town. But when Cory Booker runs out in front of a tank, Tiananmen Square style, and announces a book called Stand 2, Stand Harder, priceless. If you're hearing this Saturday morning, go out and fucking protest. Do it right now. Go to votesaveamerica.com/nokings. And you can find one near you. Let's make sure everybody gets out there. Everybody here going to be out there? Yeah. Good. Speaking of fucked up roads to be on, Health and Human Service Secretary RFK Jr. announced Monday that he was retiring all 17 members of the advisory committee that reviews vaccine data and makes recommendations to the CDC. Bad news, among the 8 new advisors chosen to replace the old panel are a number of vaccine skeptics and deniers. Good news, shorter lines at the toy store this Christmas. Speaking of people who don't go to the toy store, on Tuesday, Elon Musk tweeted, I regret some of my posts about real Donald Trump last week. They went too far. Sad. It seems last week's ketamine is wearing off, allowing Elon Musk to see his actions in the cold light of this week's ketamine. And speaking of feuds, on Wednesday, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul told reporters that he'd been uninvited from the White House picnic over his opposition to Trump's big, beautiful bill.
Just been told that I've been uninvited from the picnic. I think I'm the first senator in the history of the United States to be uninvited to the White House picnic. The White House is owned by the taxpayers. We all are members of it. Every Democrat will be invited. Every Republican will be invited, but I will be the only one disallowed to come on the grounds of the White House. I just find this incredibly petty.
You'd think someone like Rand Paul would have built up more of a tolerance to being left out of stuff. Just so everybody knows, that was a very brief excerpt of Rand Paul's full remarks about being uninvited to the White House picnic, which continued for over 7 minutes. Trump later posted a message clarifying that, of course, Rand Paul is invited to his picnic. What a roller coaster. My heart is fucking pounding. Wrote Trump, of course, Senator Paul and his beautiful wife and family are invited to the big White House party tonight. He's the toughest vote in the history of the U.S. Senate, but why wouldn't he be? The only thing more embarrassing than getting uninvited from a big party is getting reinvited after you make a big public stink about it. Hey, so good to see you. It's me from the tantrum. But hey, a pity invite is still an invite. How do you think I got invited to the White House for the first time? Pope Leo XIV. Went full Chicago Pope and donned a White Sox hat during an appearance at the Vatican on Wednesday. said a Cubs fan, we'll get the next Pope from Chicago. British researchers examining the vet records of over 2 million dogs found which breeds were most prone to diarrhea. Turns out it's something called the gallon of liquid shih tzu. In fact, the risk was actually higher for 6 breeds: the Maltese, the miniature poodle, Cavapoo, German Shepherd, and Yorkshire Terrier. I'm not sure why the researchers would refer to those breeds as the John Lovitz of the dog world, but any press is good press, I guess. I've had a lot of diarrhea material today. Plus the jokes about it in the show. A federal judge... yeah, thanks. Oh, shut up. Shut up. Still got it. Still got it. A federal judge on Monday dismissed Justin Baldoni's $400 million defamation suit against Blake Lively, her husband Ryan Reynolds, and the New York Times. The deal was, you can do anything you want to me as long as the suit stays on, said Ryan Reynolds in his Deadpool costume as the judge did his stretches. Costume stays on. Speaking of getting around, Brian Wilson, legendary member of the Beach Boys, died this week at the age of 82, said Rhonda, hanging up the paddles, I did everything I could. You get it. Coming up, it's Courtney Act and Poverty Shallow.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. There's a lot of stigma around mental health and the strength that comes from maintaining a healthy mind. Men today face immense pressure to perform, to provide, to keep it all together. Unlike women who have had it easy for far too long. So it's no wonder that 6 million men in the U.S. suffer from depression every year, and it's often undiagnosed. It's okay to struggle. Real strength comes from opening up about what you're carrying and doing something about it so you can all be your best for yourself and everyone in your life. If you're a man and you're feeling the weight of the world, talk to someone, anyone, a friend, a loved one, a therapist. John and I are both therapy boys. We love therapy. It's extremely helpful.
It sure is.
You know, there's all these, like, you know, you watch these Fox News people who say, oh, masculinity means you can't drink from a straw. You can't talk about your feelings. Why is it stronger to be able to do less? Wouldn't it be stronger to be able to do more, like get the help you need without feeling embarrassed? Isn't that what strength is?
Go to therapy, bring a straw.
Yeah, that's right. With over 35,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. And it works with an App Store rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client reviews. It's convenient. You can join a session with a therapist at the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you can switch therapists at any time. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Talk it out with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/loveit. That's betterhelp.com/loveit.
And we're back. At the risk of getting voted off my own show and deserving it, please welcome to the stage two absolute queens of reality TV. It's Poverty Shallow and Courtney Act. Hi.
Hi.
Good to see you. Oh my gosh. Get in here.
Courtney Act. That's how you say it.
Popped a button as I sat down.
Courtney Act. We heard a lot of jokes about diarrhea when we were back there.
I forgot that you both could hear that.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Were you on Survivor long enough to...
On his own show.
I'm like so excited to find out what this is.
Choose violence.
But this is actually a real question, and it relates to diarrhea. So I feel like we're really on topic. Were you on Survivor long enough to have... had a relationship with coconuts such that you understand that coconuts are a natural laxative?
I will say yes. Yes.
That's all we needed to know.
Courtney.
Yes.
Parvati and I have actually talked at length quite recently, and so we wanted to catch you up, and that'll start by just showing you how I did on Survivor. Let's roll the clip.
Looking at my tribe, I'm realizing I'm not getting to know a group of people. I'm getting to know a group of young people. I am 41 years old. Okay, so I'm old now.
No, I really like Vine. I like.
There's so much back in my day stuff coming out of my mouth. But being a speechwriter, I learned that you need to be able to put yourself in other people's shoes.
I'm addicted to TikTok. So good. All the boomers are like, we gotta bring it to TikTok. And I'm just like, I need my videos of like dogs getting adopted.
I'm realizing that I'm the oldest person here, but I'm not gonna let that stop me from trying to build things with these people.
Was that like Survivor Junior or something?
It was really cute. It was so cute.
They were all 12.
They were young. Yeah. Well, the people keep getting younger as you get older. Isn't that strange?
It's so weird.
It's so strange.
I used to be the youngest.
I know. Is
Do
that,
you know?
Well, there's somebody a quote, which is there's no such thing as a 30-year-old prodigy. Remember that? I interviewed Zohra Mamdani today for Pod Save America, and I was like, oh my God, he's 33? Are you fucking kidding me? He's running to be mayor of New York. He's 33 years old.
Well, that's what we need, fresh representation.
But not too young, because like, no offense, 20-year-olds, but you're idiots.
Agree.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I was 20 once, I can say that. But like, really, like you hear like, I love an impassioned empower, I love the energy and I love the vibe, but sometimes I'm just like, yes, 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 yes.
Well, it's so hard to know the difference, right? Because sometimes it's like, are you young or am I old, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you saying something that I can't, you know, like is a person, like it's very hard to tell the difference when you're 20 or when you're 40, if a 20-year-old is bringing an interesting and fresh perspective that I'm not ready to hear, or they're stupid.
Well, I think you know if you had the same idea at your 20, but now you're old enough to be realistic like every other godless, money-hungry, miserable, backstabbing so-and-so.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But if it's like a new idea that you're like, oh, I should have thought of that when I was 25. Let's do that. Let's do what that 25-year-old says. Then it's a good idea.
I would do what you're saying. I would do it. You're ageless also. I feel like you're from Death Becomes Her, like you drank
Thank
the
Thank you.
Potion.
Now a warning? I could be the oldest person here. I'm not sure.
I would never know.
No, we would never know. Well, we could know by asking and finding out. Apart from that, we could never know.
Yeah, let's poll the audience, every single one of you, starting with you.
Wait, Courtney, you hosted Ease the Bi Life, a dating show made up entirely of bisexuals. Wow.
Yeah.
Were most of them truly bisexual?
Or were some of them just on it? We're going with bi erasure now, are we?
No, I'm kidding.
See, bisexuality is a spectrum.
We can't erase bi people because half of Crooked Media would disappear.
Boom. You could be like, I don't know at what point it stops being a spectrum, but like, if you're like, see, I have sex with people of different genders, and one of my friends, who's a gay man, was like, you're just gay, you just sleep with women because you want to get with their hot boyfriend. And I was like, well, let's just say that's true for a minute. When was the last time you slept with a woman to get to her hot boyfriend? And he was like, never. And I was like, yeah, so it's different, right?
Right.
That's
such an important point.
I'm opportunistic sexually.
Greedy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with being greedy. Thank you. Oh, the show's gonna get
Hi, Hallie.
Spicy.
Hallie, everybody. Hi. Oh, you can't hear. Let me do it. Let me host.
Thank you.
It's like Phaedra on Traitors. She couldn't. She just had boiled eggs.
Because she couldn't. Just eating boiled. Wait.
I got a boiled egg.
What happened?
She just loved boiled eggs.
That can lead to diarrhea.
Well, yeah, but I didn't know about anyone's diarrhea on Traders because it's not a talked about thing.
Right, because there's just bathrooms there.
There's just
so
bathrooms.
It's like the normal world and where like you don't talk about it.
Exactly, yeah.
Huh.
And regular food.
It's just regular food.
Straight up food.
How was the food?
No, it was weird. It was like a combination of every night. It was lo mein, mashed potatoes, and beef Wellington.
Yeah, because you're in Scotland.
Scotland. This
so
is
it's still
Scottish.
Not going to be.
They're not known for their cuisine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I lost a survivor amount of weight. On
really?
Traders. Yeah.
Wow.
Because you didn't like the Scottish cuisine?
I couldn't do it. It was like a plate of gray.
Yeah. That's the UK in general, really.
So, you know what's an interesting difference between... An interesting difference to me between the UK version of the Traitors and the American version of the Traitors is in the UK version of the Traitors, everybody just leaves through the house and just leaves and goes to wherever the hotel is. But in the American version, they have everyone pretend they're sleeping in the house. Does that mean at the end of every day, everybody shoots walking up the stairs and then you go back down the stairs and leave?
I don't know what you're talking about. We live in a castle. We all sleep in the same bedroom with the silk duvet. And we all read the same book.
And she wants to be on All Stars.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
There was one moment of the show where someone says, like, someone started walking towards the door and somebody tapped them and was like, no, we're going to bed.
I like wink, that Traitors doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that too.
The cast was leaked today.
I saw that.
Survivors going out there.
Yeah. Any thoughts on the cast?
Well, the survivors that are going out there is Jam Jam, Natalie Anderson, who I love and I think is going to be so good in the castle because she's so fierce and such a competitor and she's going to crush at the round table. That's what we need. And then Rob Cesternino.
Yeah.
The Rob Cesternino.
Who has a podcast.
Who has a podcast and has had a podcast for decades.
It would be odd if somebody didn't have a podcast these days, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, Rob was the first person who had a podcast.
He was up. He's one of the greats. Wait.
Who's going to do his podcast?
Wait, I've been on his podcast.
I've also, but how's it going to go when he's in Scotland doing Traitors?
Pre-record.
He's thought this through. We don't have to worry about this.
So wait, Courtney, you do have a podcast.
I do.
It's called R&R.
It's called, R&R. You say in an American accent, the letters R-N-R.
R-N-R.
And it sounds like R&R.
No.
Thank you. I'm so glad you laughed.
In your podcast, you go deep with guests like Nicole Byer and Margaret Cho. Parvati, your last name's Shallow.
It is.
Oh.
It always has been.
So it's time for a segment we call Deep and Shallow Questions. So we have a mix of deep questions and shallow questions. That's it. That's the format.
Well, I try to go deep, but, you know, you come up with the concept for the podcast before you actually film it, and then you realize... Sometimes going deep is a real challenge. You try and go deep, but then you realize that it's kind of odd to talk to your friend of 15 years about like their childhood or
your trauma.
Yeah, because you've got too many jokes that you're making. You're having too much fun. But I think I got there.
It's not. It's cool to joke about trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or die trying.
You'll never die. You drank the potion.
Some people are shallow. They just don't have it. You scratch beneath the surface and you just get air down there.
Is that a personal attack?
No. You are us shallow, but we've had a long conversation. I think there you're many layers to poverty. That's my thinking about it. I wasn't talking about you. I don't think you're shallow. I really don't. I genuinely don't.
Why do I think you're overcompensating now?
I'm not. I won't vote you out. I saw what you went through. I'm not going to re-traumatize you.
Man, got out first. I never even got to...
You're the pork chop of Survivor.
The pork chop.
All right, so we have deep questions and we have shallow questions. Let's start with a shallow question. What do you think of the return of the tankini?
Ooh.
Oh, she's
I wore that to Pride.
You wore
she's
that?
Famous. Oh, that's Bella Hadid. It says it there.
Yeah, I mean, she's selling me the tankini right now. A gingham tankini?
Is that like what a tankini is?
Dorothy, Wizard of Oz.
What is a tankini?
Tank top bikini?
Oh, this was like early 2000s, right? Like,
yeah.
Or 90s, late 90s?
Deep question.
Okay. Moving on.
What do you think there's something you're going to look back on from this time in your life and regret?
Doing this podcast?
I'll get deep. So, there's a gentleman that I have sexual relations with.
I love drag.
In drag.
He's an Olympian. We actually met in hotel quarantine, because remember during COVID, Australia had those, like, the 2 weeks you had to lock down in a hotel before you could get into the country. So he is a heterosexual identifying Olympian who decided while in hotel quarantine that he would download Grindr. And I was also in hotel quarantine on Grindr, and we matched, and then we started chatting, and then it came to Friday night, and I had to get into drag to, like, film some content from inside hotel quarantine. And so we, like, I ordered, you could, like, order cocktails. Oh, my pants popped again. You could order, like, cocktails and have them delivered back in that time, like, pre-mixed margaritas. So I ordered him, like, a bottle of margaritas. And then we FaceTimed and, like, had a date because we couldn't see each other because we're in quarantine.
But you're in the same building.
We're in the same building, just across the hall.
This is so hot.
I was like, what level are you on? Because I could make a dash for it. Like, it'd be worth it. Yeah, this guy's fucking hot.
It's not a prison. Were there guards in the hallways?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was quarantine. It was, like...
Guards?
Like, not guards with guns.
With rubber
it's not
bullets?
America. Sorry.
No, what am I thinking?
Irish nurses, actually. Yeah. But we still are in contact and, you know, hopping on the good foot and doing the bad thing occasionally. And we were messaging last night and he was like, oh, I won't get to see you till September. Like, send me some photos or videos. Now, I don't send, you know, nudes as a rule, but I have taken some artistic content that doesn't involve my genitals. And I sort of went through and I found it. And I was like, do you know what? I need to take more videos of me looking like a hot slut now while I look like a hot slut.
Agree.
Because later, all I'm going to have is this, like, Snapchat video from 2000 and whatever. It's sort of like the Moira Rose. Take a lot of naked pictures of yourself and make sure you publish them on the internet, or one day your children are going to go looking for them and they won't be there. That sort of thing.
There is nothing wrong with Moira Rose.
Right.
Everything is right with that woman.
That was so beautiful.
It was.
You'll never be
are
as
you inspired?
You'll never be as young as you are right now. So take naked photos and videos and look back at them with glee.
Write this down in your notes app.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I think it's beautiful. I don't think I can.
I
think you're right that I'll regret it.
How do you feel about your naked body? Is that too deep?
I don't think about it much at all.
Take your vagina to a restaurant of its choice.
Yeah.
John, you have a hot bod.
Oh, thanks for saying that, Parvati.
Well, I can tell. Through the t-shirt.
I've been doing Pilates and taking experimental pancreas medicine. They're both kind of working.
It's working.
Yeah.
But there is something very hot to a physical boundary, like in COVID, where you couldn't get on a plane and you couldn't go meet someone. It's like something ramps up the heat and the passion there. It's like,
this is what the TV show Catfish discovered a long time ago.
Whatever happened to that show?
Yeah, no, that's what I took away from it too, that it's beautiful and inspiring what people do when they can't see each other. What's the status of you and the Olympian? Are we going for the gold? Are we gonna?
Top podium?
Yeah.
Oh, we've gone for the gold. But he has a partner now, and so we don't do the thing. But he has told her about me, and like I've gone on a date with them, which was kind of fun. It was very modern and progressive. I was like, work.
Wow.
Oh, I love this.
I want to be like the Heidi Fleiss, like I picture my apartment in Sydney. I want to like host, you know, exploratory heterosexual couples who are looking to, you know, dip their toe into the world of polyamory and bisexuality.
This is a very important topic.
Yeah.
And very and deep.
Very deep.
This
very
isn't small
important.
Talk. These are not icebreakers, people.
Yeah. Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Armor Colostrum. We're always talking guts on this show. So why not give your gut its best food forward with Armor Colostrum, whether you're an elite athlete, business mogul, or just your average podcast host or above average. Armor optimizes your body for peak output. Probiotics and other supplements are touted as a gut health solution, but most products on the market are dead before they even reach your gut. Armor Colostrum naturally fortifies your entire gut wall system and optimizes your whole body microbiome, which helps guard against irritants that can trigger digestive issues and compromise your immune system. Research has shown that colostrum helps to enhance nutrient absorption. Armor Colostrum can help stabilize blood sugar levels, modulate hormones, and ignite your metabolism. colostrum bioactives have also been shown to reactivate hair follicle stem cells and activate collagen production, promoting hair growth and enhancing skin radiance. You hear that? Radiance.
Radiance.
Plus, we've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/loveit or enter love it to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmra.com/loveit.
And I will also, I'll add to that my own thing about regret, because I think this is the probably first point in my life, because I'm releasing a book. I've written a memoir, which hopefully I don't regret, because it's so deeply personal and raw and vulnerable and exposing. And a lot in my life has changed since I completed that book. And so now I'm like, I want to live my life with no regrets, because I was in a marriage that didn't work for such a long time. And the reason I got out of that marriage was because I sat with myself and I was like, if I did this for the rest of my life and then I died, would I regret my life, like not having actually left this thing and created a life that I loved? And I was like, yeah, I can't. So that's when I really encountered the regret. And now at this point, I'm like, let's explore. Like, I'm divorced. Let's explore.
So you want to come to my apartment in Sydney? Is that what you're saying?
I'm going
to
be wearing fuzzy leg warmers and a thong.
Romance alert.
Crystal thong.
Shallow question. What Austin Powers movie is your favorite? There's Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, and Austin Powers in Goldmember.
What's the one with a little mini evil?
I think that's The Spy Who Shagged Me, yeah. And then maybe all of them.
Mine's the one with Beyonce.
That's Goldmember.
Also Heather Graham.
Heather Graham. On roller skates? Or is that Boogie Nights?
That's Boogie Nights.
Sorry.
Yeah, my favorite Austin Powers movie is Boogie Nights.
She'll forever be wearing roller skates in my mind.
Yeah. Deep question. I'm glad you got to be here for such a weird episode. Do you believe in truth?
This is not what your episodes are normally like.
Nah, it kind of is.
Kind of.
Do you believe in true love?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, isn't that like what life is about?
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's one perspective.
Well, there's cheering, so I think yes, I'm correct. Yeah. I think that we are here as humans too. I think true love is. I'm a yogi, so it's really as uniting with the oneness and source of cosmic creation that, you know, sparked life in the beginning, Big Bang, and keeps sparking life, and that's what true love is. And when you find that spark, you should write this in your notes app. This is my gift to you. When you find that spark, it could be for pickleball. It could be for bisexual love fests at a party. It could be for diarrhea. Whatever the spark is, like, just throw yourself at it.
Beautiful. 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 What an impression I make. Do you believe in true love?
I mean, I don't believe in one true love. Like, I don't like this idea of one person or even like one person forever. I do believe in love. What is the difference between love and true love? I guess that's up for me to decide. Right. I would say that I believe I have been in love and I still love that person and he still loves me, but that was like 10 years ago and we don't want to be together. But I love, I guess this is what you're saying about it, could be love of pickleball. Like, I love my parents, I love my friends, and those are all true love. But I think the question means, do you believe in one person for you forever? No.
Is that what you're interpreting for the question?
Isn't that interesting? What a thing to project onto the question. But yeah, probably. But the I feel like what I have come to realize as I've gotten older is we're trained by the culture around love to view it as an unstable equilibrium where like love is a marble balancing on an upside down bowl and you're trying to keep it at the top of the bowl. And
oh, that's, Survivor Challenge. And that's PTSD.
50-50. I'm batting 500 on my Survivor Challenges.
Marble on bowl.
Marble on bowl. So the bowl, marble's on top and you're like desperately trying to keep it from sliding over. But then what I've come to realize is that, oh, that's what a romantic comedy tells you. And that's what like dramatic movies or kind of, that's what culture and entertainment will tell you. But actually like the great loves of your life, it's more like a marble sitting in a bowl. And like, if it's the right people, you can go the wrong way. You can say the wrong thing. You can have a fight, but the bowl is going to stay, the marble is going to stay in the bowl if it's the right people for you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God, that was the best wedding speech. That was so good. For your own wedding, you should use that.
Yeah, I should try that.
I feel so settled after that story.
Shallow question.
He's engaged.
When's the wedding?
Yeah, true love. He's found it.
You found it. Have you found true love?
I think so, yeah. No, wow. I here's
definitive.
I have. It's very hard. But better. So interesting. Well, what's
it? We'll take that out in Photoshop, don't worry.
No,
never hear
for
it.
Sure. No, we'll definitely Photoshop this for sure. No, I know that I have. I'm funny that I'm creating ironic distance from a truth that I know.
Hmm.
Right, not saying just yes. Because I haven't thought about it. I was just asking the question to put it on to you, but now you're asking it back to me. And so I will tell you when I... This is why I'm sort of... Shut up. So when I met my fiancé, they presented as a woman... I present as this. I had only dated boys, cisgender men, and they had really only had relationships with women. And we were friends. And then they transitioned. But we had a connection before they transitioned. We were friends. There was some, like, we were buddies. And we worked together and we were friends, but like there was no anything beyond that. How could there be? We just weren't in the right category of people. But then something very strange happens, which is, as we become closer friends, they transitioned. Now, when you build, sometimes a romantic attraction can come from intimacy. Sometimes an intimacy can come from a romantic attraction, right? Like sometimes like you can hook up with somebody and you have no feelings, but over time, a real relationship develops. Sometimes over time, like a sexual attraction or true attraction can develop between two people out of that intimacy. But usually you stay looking about the same through that process. But it is deeply strange to be very close with someone as friends, as they slowly evolve into the kind of person that is suddenly inside of the bounds of the kind of person you would be attracted to. And over time, that happened. And for a time, it didn't seem like we were going to be together. And I made my peace with that because I knew that if it could happen, it would happen. And so then... We went for a walk and I said, long time ago, we decided not to pursue this because you date women and I date men. If there's a chance that's wrong, I think we should take a chance on it. And then we did, and that was it.
Oh my God, are you crying?
Yes.
We're all crying.
And isn't that also, you talked about them their form sort of changing, but I guess there could also be something said for them coming into their own physically, which then also changes how attraction works, not just from your side, but in their confidence, in their own body, in their own person. And it feels like a beautiful, not a metaphor, what's the right word, like a beautiful advertisement for identity and gender and people being who they truly are.
Yeah, authenticity is the hottest.
Yeah.
Aww. Oh, see, look at that.
That was very beautiful. Thank you
for
sharing.
What kind of snack do you like to get at the movies?
Wait, this is actually great because back there in the green room is every snack you could ever want at the movies. And I'm into the Sour Patch Kids and the popcorn.
Well, I devoured that popcorn.
Yeah, you went for the popcorn.
I really did. And I was getting a good story, too, so I was like,
It was really cute.
Are you afraid of dying?
Oh my God, what a good question. My daughter asks me this a lot.
Ooh.
Well, she's like, are you going to die?
How old is she?
She's very morbid. She's 6 years old. And she's like afraid everyone turns into a skeleton when the moon comes out or something.
And is that not true?
You and I talked about this. When you get your torch snuffed on Survivor, it feels a bit like a death. It's like a very ceremonial kind of ritual where it's like when your fire represents your life and when your fire goes out, that's it. You're like lights out. You're dead. And it does kind of feel like that. And then you walk down the path and you're greeted by the producers and whoever. And it's like, okay, well, from everything I've read, I get very into like lives between lives and soul family and all this kind of stuff. I geek out about this kind of thing. So from what I know, there is a soul family out there waiting for us. It's just a veil. This is like an illusion. We can only see what's here physically because we have these special eyes. Like a cat sees something completely different. A grasshopper sees something completely different. If we're dead.
Because everything's so big.
Well, yeah, they're like a little tiny grasshopper. And we're in human bodies. But when we lose these bodies, now we can see everything. So the thing that freaks me out about dying isn't necessarily like dying. It's like, what? I'm so attached to my body. I feel like, where will be home? Where's home when you die? Because home is in my body. So if I don't have my body anymore, where am I going to go?
Huh. A lot to think about.
I'm not afraid of dying. I am a godless atheist who doesn't believe in anything. And I think that I guess along the lines of what you were just saying, if I were to interpret that through, I guess, my belief system and lens, I would say that I can believe that when I die, the consciousness, me, stops being individual and like in almost like a physics kind of way, the energy that I was joins back into the collective. I don't believe I don't believe that I'll have a conscious awareness of that. I think it's more like, I think my thinking mind is kind of like this feeble narcissistic thing that thinks, the ego thinks it knows and understands what it is. But I think ultimately, like when I die, my body will just be like a dead sack of flesh and my consciousness will stop. And that like quite literally, my body will decompose and become a part of the earth again. And that's sort of like, you know, the circle of life. But what I do fear is the part that leads up to you dying, the pain. Like I saw this play called Cleansed. Has anybody here seen? Yeah, it's, I can't think of the playwright's name. But there was all these warnings outside the theater saying like, just so you know. And I was like, it's a play, like, whatever, like it's not real. And like 15 minutes in, I was like, oh God, I'll make it stop. And it's
sounds
about
really
torture.
Good.
And it was one of those plays where I was like, that was horrible. I wish that never happened to me. But then I kept thinking about it and I was like, wow, I was sitting in a play, a piece of art made me consider how I want to die, the fear of torture, the fear of pain, and like thinking like I need a piece of jewelry that will allow me to kill myself when if I ever get into that situation, you know, like where you can't kill you. I've always thought like, what's the worst thing that can happen? You can just kill yourself. Like if it all goes, not in like a suicidal way, but like if the sea levels rise and if, you know, I don't know, an authoritarian dictator comes to power and tries to round you up. Like, you can just, like, you can find a way to kill yourself. But I was like, what if you're being tortured and you can't physically kill yourself because you've been restrained? I was like, I need, like, a cyanide earring that I can do it with.
Cyanide earring? What deep? If you accidentally Did hit you? That at night when you're...
Well, sleeping? That's because it's got to be, like, you know those, like, security passes where you're, like, zzz, swipe? It needs to be like that so you can, like, zzz. That can't happen.
Voice activated. Cyanide.
What if they cut out your tongue? That's what happened in this play.
I never want to hear. I don't want to see this. This sounds like a fucking awful play.
It is. But like, here I am talking about it.
You know,
not Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. Have you heard about Wicked?
That was good.
You just cry and applaud, and you remember the songs after. That's a nice part about that. Yeah. Okay. Well, one last question. Do you
Wait, before we move on.
Are you a Negroni person or a Martini person? Listen to R&R wherever you get your.
I can't tell if I've ruined this podcast episode or not.
This is great. This is awesome. This is exactly what we wanted out of the segment we called
Love It or Leave It.
Deep in
Wait,
Gala.
Also, I was so grateful on Traders that I didn't have to get buried alive. They buried people alive.
That's a crazy thing to do. That was a crazy moment on that show because you're sort of like, I will say, like, I trust the production of Survivor.
No.
Like, for Survivor, like, they've been making Survivor for a very long time.
Survivor, yes.
They know what they're doing. They are, like, fucking pros. They're, like, they've been at it a long time. But that Traitors show, like, I'm sorry. It's, like, I love Traitors, but it's, like, at the end of this challenge, you get an extra 15 grand. Like, they're making it up as they go.
There's scorpions, there's snakes, there's rats. They're, like, just be nice to the animals.
Yeah,
like,
let's get a couple housewives in that grave and bury them. What? That's cool. That's a crazy thing to do.
Would you like to do that? Would you be buried alive?
No, I want to be dead when they do it, for sure. I've thought about that. But
for money on television.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll be right back.
But they shovel the dirt.
They shovel the dirt.
You can see the dirt cracking through the crack in the coffin.
So you're standing while they're doing it.
I wasn't there. That was season one.
Oh, they didn't do it again. So that tells you something.
Someone died.
Who was the survivor that got buried?
Stephanie LaGrossa got buried.
Yeah.
A lot of people got buried.
Poverty Courtney, stay right there. We'll be right back to ask some more deep questions and some shallow ones.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by OneSkin. Everyone knows that you've got to wear sunscreen in the summer, but what if your sunscreen could do more than block UV? That's what scientists at OneSkin wondered, so they made a whole family of mineral sunscreens that target UV rays, free radicals, and cellular aging. The best part, unlike other mineral SPFs that feel heavy and chalky, these feel like skincare. Lightweight, breathable, and super hydrating. And that's very important because, for me, I have found that the hardest part of using sunscreen every morning is when I hate the feeling, I don't use it. But when I like it, I do it every day. When it feels like not a chore, but like a nice part of the routine, you'll do the sunscreen every day. So that's why you should try OS One Face SPF from OneSkin. It now comes in two deeper tints as well, formulated with non-nano zinc oxide, OneSkin's patented OS One peptide, and potent antioxidants that scavenge free radicals four times better than other so-called anti-aging SPFs. This sunscreen is one you'll be wearing all summer long. But that's not all. OneSkin has up their lab coat sleeves. They're launching an all-mineral lip SPF that provides instant hydration and protection with a smooth texture. You've got to feel to believe. And just like OneSkin, I said that weird, but you know what I mean. And just like OneSkin's other sunscreens, it's scientifically proven to decrease key aging biomarkers and increase other markers like elastin production for visibly healthier, more resilient lips. You know what? I have to tell you, that's a product for me. I really like OS1, but I need to try this lip sunscreen because, like, I find that sometimes my lips get sunburned. That's a problem I have, John.
Well, you've got a solution right in front of you.
Try their family of sunscreens with 15% off your first purchase using code LOVEIT at oneskin.co. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. For a limited time, you can try OneSkin with 15% off using code LOVEIT at oneskin.co. That's 15% off at oneskin.co with code LOVEIT. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Give your skin the scientifically proven gentle care it deserves with OneSkin.
And we're back. Parvati, you have a book. What's it called?
Nice Girls Don't Win, How I Burned It All Down to Claim My Power.
What a brilliant title.
It's very aggressive.
It's so good.
Now, it's interesting because I feel like when you were first on Survivor, like, you were basically, most women were just villains, just sort of culturally. Just like, she seems to be nice. I don't trust it. Villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was wearing a ponytail up top. Villain.
Guys, I think that's called misogyny.
Two braids.
Two braids. Villain. But you like, we were talking about the book a bit yesterday. Can you just tell people about it?
I've written a memoir. It starts at my childhood. I grew up in a commune, a Hindu spiritual commune run by a very charismatic, very controlling guru. She named me. We lived there for a bit. My sister, who is also in the audience out here, Sadashi, was also born there. And we grew up there. We moved to Atlanta. It goes through my whole life story. Moving to LA, getting cast on Survivor, playing Survivor multiple times. It just details everything. And I wrote it as an offering for myself, first of all, to really help me to understand myself. Because once I got divorced, I was like, how did I get here? Like, I feel like I'm a pretty smart person, but like, I ended up in a situation that wasn't healthy for me. And the book was an exploration of that. And as I was writing it, I am like a service-minded person. I'm a life coach. I like helping people. I want people to take away from my story something that helps you in your life. But it like really goes through. Like, I deep excavated my soul for this book. So I really hope you'll buy it, read it, and enjoy it. And don't tell me if you don't like it.
Won't tell you. But what I like about it too is it's like I feel like you've sort of embrace the lessons of what it takes to be a villain.
Yes.
And like bringing that into like what you learned over time from having kind of like in Survivor about what it means to kind of to like basically being a villain is another way of kind of like in these shows, like kind of just taking up space.
Being a villain is not only taking up space and it is also playing to win and using every tool in your toolbox to do it. And if you're like me, a woman who is a flirty girl who has that kind of power, I'm going to use it. It's the thing, I think, for many women, it is the thing that we have over men. The only thing in a lot of circumstances that we have over men. And I'm like, use it. Like, don't be slut-shamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be quieted or shut down. Like, use every ounce of power that you have. Use your voice, stand up for yourself, put yourself first, because I was like conditioned to be a people pleaser. I was born into a commune where everyone attended to the needs of this very controlling guru. So that was in my DNA and my blueprint as a child. And I think a lot of people were born into that kind of family dynamic with their parents, very controlling, dictatory kind of parents out there in the world. And that creates people who tend to put themselves last. And on these reality shows, what we're seeing is a very upsetting trend of people wanting to play an honest game. And it's so annoying. Thank you. I feel like we're on Oprah now. Like, right? When did this switch?
What an interest. Yeah, that's been fun. I liked it. I learned a lot. We had an interesting conversation. We learned about a play to avoid. It's a lot.
It's a good play. It made me question my life. And that is powerful art.
I am so glad it did that for you.
Sarah Kane cleansed.
Cleansed. And speaking of cleansed, we're going to take turns spinning the wheel and defend whichever ne'er-do-well it lands on. Okay? Oh, what is...
Oh, my God. Really, look at that cute little photo of you, John.
Wheel of Fortune.
What is that? Interesting. We're on Wheel of Fortune. All right. We're going to spin the wheel. Whatever villain it lands on, we have to defend for a minute. Parvati, you're up first.
Oh, my God. Me first. Okay. Pressure's on. Ursula? Oh,
you got Ursula.
Oh my God, actually, she's my favorite villain of all time, I think. She was a drag queen.
Yeah. Oh. She was based on Divine.
Yes, she's a sexy mama, va-va-voom. Okay, I don't know if you guys are into this, but I know there is a whole genre of porn that's like octopus porn.
Wait, real octopi?
But like, it's like Ursula tentacle porn.
I think it's animated. I don't think
thank you.
No, I don't think
I saw my octopus teacher.
Yeah.
You know he was diddling that octopus, though.
You know what the problem is with that movie, My Octopus Teacher? It's too much teacher, not enough octopus. Every time I'm above the waterline, I'm like, what am I doing here? Get underwater. This is a movie about an octopus. Not a weird dude.
Show me that pussy.
Can I see a show of that octopussy? Can I see a show of hands who thought that the octopus teacher was having some sort of inappropriate sexual relationship with the octopus?
It's a real question.
It's just you and me. No, one, two, three.
Three of us.
Okay, I'm in the minority. I've just had a life experience. It's okay.
Look, the octopus only lives for 1 year, so he has to get it while it's hot.
Is that it?
Yes. That's the whole thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Ursula is one of my favorites. I play this character consistently with my daughter. She likes to be Ariel. And I'm Ursula, and I do a mean Ursula. And I really get into it and, like, wiggle my arms and stuff. So I relate. So obviously she can't be bad.
Yeah. One of the great villains.
Yeah.
It's also, like, I'm sorry, but let's remove King Trident or whatever his name is and have a democracy, you know?
Right.
Let's off with his
Another
head.
Another controlling dictator, it's father. Like, yeah.
It's like, oh, he becomes a benevolent authoritarian. That's the lesson. There's too many Disney movies where the lesson is the king learned their lesson. It's like, who cares?
The Queen of Hearts, I also could defend.
Yeah.
Don't be painting my white roses with red paint. Plant red roses in the first place.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Do it right, idiots.
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 Let's spin it again, but next up, it's Courtney. Am I saying that okay?
We got on here. Oh, gosh, Michelle Visage.
Michelle Visage, she's not a villain. Oh, she's a villain.
She looks like Cruella DeVille.
She looks like a villain there. Okay, I'm defending Michelle Visage. So Michelle Visage provides a really important service on RuPaul's Drag Race and probably in many other places, like to her family. But on Drag Race, you need an antagonist who says the things. And also, like, RuPaul is the elite figurehead, you know, the needs to have a certain amount of decorum. But Michelle, she can go in and do the dirty work. And they're friends, and they I think they share the same brain a lot of the time. And so she says the things that RuPaul also thinks. And she does say things that, you know, help raise drag queens to a high level. If you go back and you watch, like, the early seasons, the tone of the things that Michelle and the judges, but particularly Michelle, say has changed a lot. Like, the things that you comment on then, you wouldn't comment on now. Sort of like going back and reading someone's old tweets. But
delete it. Just delete your account.
You cannot delete seasons 1 through 10 of RuPaul's
Drag Race.
You mean
they've gotten, they're more conscientious.
Not politically correct, but like.
Sensitive or empathetic?
Sensitive and empathetic to people's needs. Look, I think like as a product of the times, she always like pushed the envelope of like what you could or should say. And I think that like she's a formidable force in Drag Race lore. And I think she's really like, she's an icon for a reason.
Yeah. I like that.
I think she would enjoy that. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
That was nice.
All right, let's spin it again. It's my turn. It has landed on Mark Zuckerberg.
He's a ghost. Ghosts are real.
Travis, did you just shout, "You look like him"? Was that you?
Can I borrow your glasses for a moment?
Oh, hi, Michael.
Can I just borrow your glasses?
Oh, yeah. No.
There you go. Pop those on.
There you go.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Boom.
You needed the prop.
So you don't need glasses. These are a look. These are not real. I'm sorry. Wait.
Don't expose this.
There's no prescription in these glasses. Are they a prescription? For what? For what? A slight astigmatism. From a doctor? You have a slight astigmatism? Is that true, strictly?
Wait, John, are you seeing more clearly? Have you just learned that you need glasses?
Do I have a tiny astigmatism?
Maybe.
Let's get some numbers in the back. Just raise your hands in the back, fingers, and you can point out.
What do the letters on that sign say?
I could see that. I do have trouble reading the teleprompter a lot of the time.
The exit.
What if I have a tiny little astigmatism?
Better late than never.
Yeah, they have treatment for that.
So I think the decision that this is similar is anti-Semitism, first of all. But look.
Do the pose. Do his pose.
Look. The
yeah.
Somebody get a thumbnail.
Yeah, that's the lure.
That stinks. We have the same stylist. Which same stylist, which is the person that styled Harvard Westlake kids for their bar mitzvah in 2006. So yeah, you know, Mark Zuckerberg gets a bad rap, but because of everything that's gone on, like the ethnic violence and slow degradation of our social bonds, and the fact that he built a system that kind of destroys human connection, creates vast amounts of loneliness, and then announces he's creating AI so that people can have friends again. And then every once in a while he gives a speech about how much they're trying to help the world, and always part of that speech is explaining how they got it so wrong for the previous time. You know, it's always like, what we learned the last time was no, bad. We're not going to do that again. We have a whole new thing we're going to try. Oh no, we did it again. But I love what he's doing in Hawaii. Let's spin it again.
Wait, so he's basically King Trident, is what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, it's a lot of, yeah, I don't, the, oh, should I give these glasses back? I got it. You're right. I should give these back. Thank you. I believe you. It's a real prescription.
It really does make
sense. You look great in the glasses. You look great. I do, like, it's a, I see why you've chosen it as part of your look. And
she's like, I'm never cleaning these glasses again.
That's like a nightmare for you, in a sense. Like, oh my God, everyone's gonna find out these aren't real glasses. What are the odds? Like, oh, we'll sit in the front. What could happen? And then like,
it's like being like, naked in your dream at school.
When you saw Courtney going for the glasses, did you know that I was gonna discover that there's no prescription in them? That
also
that's
you
oh my
both
God, what a good guy.
That's love.
That's love.
Also,
that's
true love.
However, if it was true love, he could have thrown himself under the bus and offered up your glasses.
His own.
They're definitely a real prescription.
They're definitely real. They're
his
more
look real.
Real. I trust you.
They're even more real.
Well, we can tell yours are real. Okay.
You understand what that means. What's happening?
Let's spin the wheel.
Let's spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Let's see where it lands.
It's Parvati's turn. It's landed on Tyson.
Oh! Okay, well, people get it wrong about Tyson. Tyson Apostle, if you don't know him from Survivor fame, he and I were at odds on Heroes versus Villains. I wanted to play with him because Tyson has a very sharp wit. He's pretty brutally honest. He's honest in like the most meanest, darkest, cruelest way. And it's so funny. He really makes being mean and being a villain hilarious. And I for one, want this, I want his like genre to grow. I want there to be more Tysons. Like there's a lot of Parvatis going out and playing Survivor. They're like, well, I'm gonna play like Parvati. I want people going out and playing like Tyson because he elevates villainry to like an art form with the honesty and with the humor. And right now, he's currently filming House of Villains, so he's really settling into his name.
He also kind of evolved. Like he was much meaner and less empathetic earlier, and he kind of grew up when he came back.
Well, he's a dad.
Yeah.
I think him having kids changed him completely.
Made him soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when Steven Spielberg took the guns out of E.T. Let's like, spin it again.
Only lightsabers. E.T. has the lightsabers, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Courtney, defend.
Who is that?
That's Mr. Freeze.
From Batman Forever? One of the Batman.
No, Batman
is that
versus
Arnold
Robin.
Schwarzenegger?
Batman versus Robin, right? Batman versus Robin.
With Chris, what's his face?
Yes.
The hot Robin?
Yeah, and she's
Chris
trying
Farley?
To kill you, dick. Remember that?
No.
I do. He was hot.
Wait,
he
is
was
that hot. The one with Vicky Vale, Kim Basinger?
That's just Batman 1989.
Oh, I loved her.
Whenever I get carded at a bar, I say, I saw 1989's Batman in the theater.
And they're like, go on, sir. Even without your glasses, we'll let you in.
I have to defend.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I mean, I can't remember what he did or why he wanted to do it.
His wife was frozen, right? Aww. He had a frozen wife.
He was doing it all for remember? Love. For
she
true
was
love.
A frozen wife.
So he had a frozen heart? His heart was frozen?
What?
Why did he get so cold?
They don't like it. They don't like it. They're revolting.
Hey,
where's the rubber bullets?
Hey, I want you to know something. Nothing makes me want to sink into this more than you trying to fucking move this show along. Yeah. Let's talk more about Arnold Schwarzenegger's performance as
Mr.
Freeze.
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Let's talk about that.
Did he have an
film.
Iconic line?
Yes, he says something like, you're so cold.
You're so cold.
You're frozen. I met what Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Ice. I'm going to put you on ice.
I'm going to put you on ice.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Thank you.
Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Is he a villain?
Not Patrick.
I'm from White Lotus. I met Patrick.
I think he's going to be typecast like a villain if he's not careful.
Yeah, I think that's his dad, Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze. Let's spin it one more time.
Okay. Governor Kelp.
It has landed on Deirdre Muro, who we all know from Andor.
What? Who are these people?
Go, John. You defend her.
Yeah, please.
Defend that haircut.
I want to defend this character because it is inconceivable to imagine this woman kind of like laughing and like having a good time because the character is so unhappy. I like that.
I bet if she comes to your sex party, she'll get
still thinking about that.
It's lodged itself in my octopus brain. You guys, stop.
I was going to say,
this audience is so horny. It's not me.
They're so horny. They're such freaks.
Who is horny? Show of hands. Yeah.
I knew it.
More people are horny than thought that the octopus teacher was having sex with the octopus, so.
I've got my finger on the pulse.
You're a better judge of character than I am.
Anyway, I really liked Andor. You guys see Andor? So good. You know what's cool about Andor?
What is Andor?
Courtney Act.
Show of hands, who knows what Andor is?
Oh,
okay, more people than
look,
are horny, so keep going.
Here's the thing. There's two kinds of people in this world. There's people who have a kind of queer, polyamorous thing going with Olympians and people who got really into Andor. I'm into Andor. Andor. I'm not on Grindr. I'm on Andor.
So Andor's an app.
No.
A grumpy one.
It's a riveting drama set in the Star Wars universe created by Tony Gilroy.
What? This is the nerdiest thing I've ever heard.
Well, stick around. I love Andor. And what's great about Andor is there's now, this is what I want to tell people. It's important that people know this. That now there's a new trilogy, if you think about it. You can go Andor, Rogue One, A New Hope. That's it. It's a whole new trilogy for you.
But it's like I'm watching Andor.
No. It's one word, Andor. It's both a place and a name of a person.
The grumpy spell lady? It?
No.
A-N-D-O-R. Oh,
what
it is Andor. But do they mean
Andor? It's like
no, it's unrelated. Or? It's unrelated.
I'm watching this Andor.
No.
Andor.
That.
They, them, this, that.
Andor.
Shut up.
Get up here.
I cry basically at every episode, which actually doesn't make sense.
That's sweet.
We've seen your heart.
Yeah,
many
we
times.
Have seen your heart tonight
Thank
on stage.
You.
It's really beautiful. Thank you. I'm going to go home and watch Andor.
Can't wait.
What? How do I watch it? What's
we'll
it on?
Watch and
it's on Disney Plus. The okay. Plus is for the stuff they make.
Specifically, and or other things.
All right, let's leave it there. Let's end this show. Everybody, aww. Everybody, we'll have to end sometime.
We're having fun.
Everybody, check out R&R.
R&R.
Very nice.
Everybody, get Parvati's book.
Get the book. Wait, you know I'm doing a drag show on my book launch day? And there might be a very special surprise happening. Do you want to come?
When is it?
July 8th in Brooklyn at $3 Bill.
Oh, I love $3 Bill.
Come.
I'm gonna be at a commune in Northern California on
July
8th.
Oh my gosh, it's like Parent Trap. Freaky but, Friday.
But there's two ships passing in the night. Yeah. Let's do calendars later, okay? That's our show. Thank you so much to Courtney Act, Parvati Shallow. We'll see you next week right here at Dynasty Typewriter. There are 507 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Coffin, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Will Miles are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Shersher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East. It's love it or leave it. Love it or leave it.